Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We tend not to think about the conditions of our local roads until there's a problem. But the budget and plan for winter plowing, sanding, and salting has to happen long before the snow flies. How much salt to buy? How many members of the road crew does a town need? And what hours can they work? How much should they be paid? Not to mention equipment. How many plow trucks does a community need? And what happens if one goes down? But when we get as much as 18 inches of snow over a weekend, the roads might be top of mind for a lot more of us right now. So, perfect time to tackle this topic. We're going to look at how towns plan and what the situation is this year in terms of salt shortages, staff shortages, and road conditions. Joining us now are three people who do think about this a lot. Karen Horn is Director of Public Policy and Advocacy for the Vermont League of Cities and Towns. Karen, hi, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Jared Cadwell is Faceton's Select Board Chairman. Jared, it's nice to have you on the program as well.
Thanks so much.
And also with us is Carrie Johnson, St. Albans Town Manager. Hi, Carrie, nice to talk with you. I don't hear Carrie, but we'll see if we get her. So do weeks like this stress towns out? We've had a lot of snow followed by very cold temperatures. At least the roads that I'm driving on, some of them are quite slick today. So is this something that is stressful, or is it like, yeah, you roll with it? This is what we were prepared for every winter. It always happens. Jared, what do you think?
Well, I spoke to our road foreman yesterday, and I was impressed, as I've always been impressed, with how unflappable he was in the face of 2 feet of snow, steep roads, and blowing winds. So, you know, we've got a pretty resilient workforce. In some respects, I think they enjoy the excitement. There's an adrenaline rush when it big storm arrives. The big concern, however, is what happens if there's a mechanical with any of the plow trucks. And just as an example, in the November storm, we had a collision of circumstance where two of our tandem trucks went down, one right after the other, so we were scrambling to put together a fleet that could manage that storm. And with the great help from Charlie Boys up in Burlington and Clark Equipment, we were able to get the roads, get the trucks back out on the roads fairly quickly. But you know, there's stress and excitement, I guess, is my response.
Excitement like, hey, this is fun, or excitement like, oh, God, there's a knot in the pit of my stomach.
Well, you know, it speaks to the expertise of our road crew. They're incredible operators of very large equipment, multiple ton tandem pickup trucks loaded with gravel, loaded with sand. Oh, and they also have to plow roads that are frequently of steep grades, anywhere from 8 to 15%. And, you know, they're incredibly skilled. And I do think that at the end of the day, they're quite proud of the work they do.
Carrie Johnson, does this resonate for you in St. Albans Town, hearing about what Jared is saying, you know, everybody goes through in Faceton?
It does. Yeah, I would like to say a big thank you to our crew and those throughout the state, both in all levels of government, including the state trucks. There is a mixed set of emotions as you prep for a storm. I know our crew takes each one of them have their own designated route, and they take it very personally that it's maintained and kept as safe as possible. I would like to just do a quick mini commercial that we really would appreciate people not park on our public streets.
Yeah, that must make plowing really hard.
It seems a little obvious, but there are some people, and sometimes they just don't think about it. They might just run in for a minute, but we really can't have people playing near or around our public streets because these plows can't see kids, especially in a snowstorm or anyone else that's near the road. And also just not having any cars in the public right away is very helpful for us.
Yeah, so you mean not in the like a parking ban kind of situation, but just generally places where people aren't supposed to park and they stop their car for a little while?
Correct, yeah. And we more or less, we don't call it a parking ban, but we really do prohibit parking in the wintertime for that reason, because sometimes our window of opportunity is very, very narrow. You know, for us, our plow routes are 2.5 hours long, and we need to do that in order to avoid missing anyone, of course. So.
Karen Horn, you know, both Jared and Carrie have really given props to their road crews and foremen, and it's, you know, certainly at this time of year, especially a job that's both difficult and often stressful and often long hours, at least during storms like this. But I understand that for many communities as well, it's hard to get enough people to staff a road crew. Why is that?
Well, there's a number of reasons, but I'd like first to pile on with thanks to the road crews all around the state over this last weekend. I think it is apparent to everybody that if your road crews aren't out and that work's not getting done, nobody's going anywhere in Vermont after a weekend like this one. We do have a very low unemployment rate in Vermont overall, and so the stories that you hear from any number of employers around the difficulty with getting people to work, hiring new people, is certainly also the case with people who are on the road crews, road commissioners sometimes. We have a lot of people at the local level who've been there for a long time, as was described in Facetown. They do a fabulous job. They're very familiar with the roads. When you need to go out and hire somebody new, it can be tricky, and the competition is not only from other municipalities in the state, but also from the private sector. We heard on the radio earlier this week that fuel dealers were given a pass to let their truck drivers drive more overtime this weekend in order to keep fuel tanks full. So it's kind of a universal issue.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that you both have to have the skills and then also have the knowledge of the town roads at some point, you know, as you go forward so that you're plowing efficiently and effectively. And that's a tricky thing on a job that doesn't always pay as well as some other jobs might.
Right. And traditionally, where in the private sector, you might get more pay per week in your pocket. Some people work for a town because of the benefits, and so it balances out, but it kind of might depend on the needs for your family and your personal economy as to which option you go for. Mm-hmm. So that's always a consideration as well.
We're talking today about town and municipality roads, basically at this time of year. So not the entire road budget, although that certainly comes into play. But how do towns keep their roads clear and plowed? What are the goals? I mean, we've talked on this show before with VTrans about whether the state has a bare roads policy for plowing or just, you know, keep the roads safe and clear. And my recollection of that is that bare roads are not necessarily the object, but the idea is to make roads passable and clear. But certainly in the middle of a storm, that can be tricky and maybe not an expectation we should all have. But how do towns do this and how does it work? And one question I hope we get answered at some point, what happens at a town boundary? Does a plow truck just stop and turn around right at the town boundary? Or are you, like, you know, making deals with other towns? And before we get to that, I'll go to Kristen, who's calling in from Starksboro. Hi, Kristen. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to give a shout out to Tom and Tony, our road crew guys in Starksboro, and they're just tip-top and always on top of it.
How do you know them, Kristen?
Well, Starksboro isn't exactly huge, so there's that. And they've been at this for a long time, so yeah, they are fantastic.
Well, Kristen, thanks for the shout out. And Jared Cadwell in Facetown, you know, that's what you were talking about before. These are people who are obviously in their communities and then have this important job, but often one, you know, that people can complain too, like, my road's not plowed. I want to go to the store. My road's not plowed. I got to go to my friends to watch the game. You know, you must get complaints as well as praise.
Oh, sure. And, you know, we're a small town. There's a lot of familiarity at the coffee pot, at the Irisville Country Store, at the Moortown Country Store. So a lot of information, quote unquote, gets exchanged around the coffee urn first thing in the morning, especially. And, you know, we do have a lot of folks who are, you know, pretty experienced with heavy equipment. So, you know, they do feel like as taxpayers and as well as self-proclaimed experts that they should offer an opinion. So, you know, you have to roll with that and also continually communicate to folks that there are priority snow removal routes, snow plow routes, specifically for school buses. Those back roads get priority. Those roads get cleared first, and then the secondary routes are cleared. I think there was a reference made earlier to the how long it takes to complete a route. We have a three-person crew, and depending on the conditions, it takes between 2 and 3 hours to complete one pass through a route in order to get the bus routes open. So at times we have to tell folks, you know, be patient. The plow trucks will get there, but it may not, you may not be the first priority.
Well, Carrie Johnson, how do you deal with that kind of situation for people? I mean, that's really interesting to hear Jared talking about which routes get priority. But, you know, in St. Albans Town, as in many communities, people who are trying to commute to work may not be working 9 to 5. You know, in my household, my partner leaves at 6 a.m. to get to his job. So how do you either, A, accommodate the way people now live, or B, try to get the word out that, I'm sorry, you're just not going to be able to leave that early if there's a big storm?
Well, that's a great, great point. So we actually have adjusted some of our routes, and I think have added one more person to accommodate some of our more problematic roads. Like Jared was referencing, we have a very steep road in town, and that one gets almost it gets the most attention because it's the most problematic, and there is a school bus route on it as well. So we've just changed our routes a little bit to accommodate that, so that can even most towns know, if you call the road crew, what their plow route will roughly take. For us, it's 2.5 hours in a couple areas close to me. They have a four-hour turnaround. But this one road has half that because we know that we have to get on it and stay on that road pretty frequently, and it happens pretty seamlessly. What I will say is I think Vermont, our customers, our taxpayers, are pretty understanding in a storm for the most part. They understand it takes a little bit of time. They do occasionally complain. I would say I get more complaints when a mailbox is taken out than the actual road condition.
Karen Horn, you know, it almost sounds like a game of Tetris or something to try to figure out. And I imagine for some towns it can be really complicated to figure out the right routes and how to make it work and which ones get priority. I mean, this must be something that all communities, all municipalities in Vermont are figuring out and probably constantly tweaking to make sure it works right.
Well, that's definitely the case. And I think also because now we have sometimes these little micro storms, so you might get something in one area that is a pretty devastating storm, and you know, a mile away there's nothing. So you have to take that into account as well. But yeah, and you had asked the question about raising the you didn't ask it that way, but raising the plow if you're at the end of a town highway.
Yeah, good. Certainly, you can answer my question.
Well, I don't know. I can't give the universal answer, but there are certainly some towns that share if you're coming through a stretch of one community and you're already in the plow truck that you would plow through there and the other town will return the favor on another road. The state and towns sometimes share and sometimes lift the plow if they're going through a town-owned stretch of what is otherwise a state highway. But I think there's more sharing than not, as long as you're on the road anyway.
Does that sound right to you, Jared, in Facetown?
Yes, and in fact, the town of Facetown and the town of Waitsfield have a interlocal agreement on maintenance of stretches of highway that cross town boundaries. And it's only practical, pragmatic to do that. And it's actually a great way to demonstrate to our taxpayers that, you know, we're looking out for their bottom line and there's an efficiency there.
Well, and who said, you know, towns in Vermont have divided government? Certainly we're an example here to the federal government with how to work with one another. Let's go to Jay, who's calling in from Plymouth. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jane. I had a comment, and it had to do with sanding. We noticed that I'm actually in Ludlow, that when you sand a road that gets sunlight, a lot of times from the ice, it seems to melt and go right into the ice, and sometimes with even minutes, the sand is gone, and it's just as icy as it was before the truck came through. But a few years ago, I know Ludlow experimented with this material. I think it's a kind of a crushed granite. It's a lighter color. It's almost like a light gray. And it seems to stay on the surface and hold up better, and you have the traction for a longer period of time. So I think we've had some success with that, and that's my comment.
Yeah, Jay, thanks for that. Jared, I hear you sort of nodding in agreement. What are you thinking?
Well, I know that that the state has experimented with different materials, and, you know, it's all – honestly, it comes down to what is available and at what price. Now, the town of Faison is very fortunate. It has its own gravel pit, and – we're able to crush the amount of gravel that we need to maintain our roads and bring them back up to speed during the summer, as well as crush material for sand. So for us, it makes sense for us to use the material available. I suspect that what the caller was describing was a kind of perhaps crushed slate material. And I don't know this for sure, but I think that's a more expensive material to spread than it would be than our sand.
Hmm. While we're talking about what's being spread, Dak in Brattleboro says, whenever I hear the term salt shortage, I can't help to laugh because so many times I've seen more salt on the roads than snow here in southern Vermont, particularly in the beginning of the winter. If they didn't dump so much of the car corroding salt on the road, it would last longer, right? Seems like common sense, but this is what I've witnessed year after year. Real Vermonters have winter tires and also struggle with fighting rust on their vehicles amidst stricter vehicle inspections. I wince when I see how much salt is dumped on our roadways. Carrie, can you talk a little bit about salt and philosophy maybe, but also, you know, we do hear frequently of communities having salt shortages or a more region-wide salt shortage. And so how does that all work?
Well, I mean, I guess back to the application question, we have tried to reduce the amount of salt we use by trying a hybrid where we actually apply brine, which is a salt mixture, to our salt prior to putting it in our trucks. And so what that enables us to do is use less salt, because as soon as the salt is applied to the road, it's a little bit wet, not really sticky, but wet, and it immediately starts to activate, because the traditional method is just throwing salt on a road. And it takes a little bit of time for traffic to work it in, or like the caller said, sometimes sun to hit it. And with some gravel or dirt roads, you're not really supposed to put a lot of salt on them anyway, because it causes more damage than good. But so that was our attempt to mitigate how much salt we're using on our roads, and it's actually worked. I can't tell you how many tons we use less, but right now we use about 1,400 tons a year. And we did have a shortage last year, not so much this year in 2019, but in 2018 in March, when we ordered salt, we were just simply not getting any deliveries.
Yeah. And why, Karen Horn, why is that? Why, you know, everybody anticipates winter, and winters are different from one year to another. So some years you might have a lot more plowing and a lot more salt needed. And some years not, but we're pretty used to that sort of up and down cycle. So what happens when there's a salt shortage? Why would there be one?
Well, we haven't heard of much with respect to shortages this year. I will say that We do hear from towns across the state now that they're trying to reduce the amount of salt that they use, that they're trying to use other materials, and brine is certainly popular. I think it's effective on a wider range of temperatures as well than just salt itself. What happens for a lot of towns is they actually will commit to a certain tonnage of salt that they're going to buy as part of the state contract. This is a little bit in the weeds, but whatever. And if they exceed that amount, then so that amount is purchased at a set price. But if you exceed that amount, then you would be out in the open market again and paying whatever the going rate is for salt, and the price has been increasing. It's actually, interestingly, been increasing to the point where there's a new vendor in Vermont, apparently, and the salt is coming from Egypt. I just found that out this morning.
Wow.
Which is pretty wild. But, yeah, so anyway.
Yeah, so the salt market, probably a big one for places in the Northeast, whether it's salt mines here or companies importing salt. We're talking today about how towns budget and plan for road clearing in the winter, and then how to actually make sure those roads are safe when their best laid plans head south. Like, what happens if you have one plow truck down and you're a small community? I mean, that can be a big impact on a town. Now, many road crew members are still trying to clear up roads and keep them from getting too slick today. But joining us for a few minutes here is Danville's road foreman, Keith Gadapi. Keith, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you.
What are you doing today?
Today we're doing, obviously, treating our surfaces with sand, and we are putting a mix of salt and sand on some of our black tops because the sun is really out bright today, and we're thinking we're going to be able to get some melting effect because of the sun. We're also pushing back snow banks. Our loader is going, pushing back areas that have been drifting the last couple of nights to try to get those spaces wide enough to have cars meet.
How tricky was this recent storm? We not only had a lot of snow in some parts of the state, but also then some really cold temperatures. Is that trickier than normal or about on par?
Well, it's about on par. What made this storm a little easier for us than some is the timing. And timing for us is a key. You know, we try to provide service for our morning commutes and our evening commutes, you know, as a priority. With this storm coming on Sunday, there's little less traffic, which is good, and we were able to provide fairly good service for our Sunday morning commuters because we were out there about the same time as the snow was coming down. So
Keith, Jared Cadwell and Faiston mentioned that they get more complaints about the road crew if a mailbox is hit than about road conditions. People are generally pretty accommodating of, you know, a storm is happening, there's going to be snow on the road. But I'm curious about how you learn the skills, because those road plows are really big. You're not only operating on a road that's full of snow, you're also trying to operate equipment and I'd be hitting mailboxes left and right. So how do you actually learn those skills?
Well, it comes with a lot of practice, for sure. Hiring help is difficult with people that have limited experience in running such a wide plow. But it takes a lot of practice and knowing how wide you are at all times. And you're right. We're out on the roads when it's, you know, the most horrible driving there is. So we try to provide everybody with adequate safety equipment, such as tire chains and anything that we can possibly do, great tires, that kind of thing, to do all we can mechanically. And fortunately, most people will allow us some room and give us some space because you're right, it's a tough thing.
Well, about that, when you say most people give you space, you know, you've got the open mic here. Is there something that you would like either motorists or town residents in general to know, that ways that we could be helpful to our road crews?
You know, well, there is actually. You know, people need to understand, you know, from our perspective, is that, you know, the roads aren't always going to be great, you know. And so if it takes that little extra effort on the public's part to, you know, to get up that 20 minutes earlier than normal to get to your regular work time, to allow yourself some time because you're probably not going to travel as fast as usual. And unfortunately, every day we see these drivers that maybe didn't get up early enough. So they are hurrying, you know, and they're driving too fast for conditions. And that's key. You know, the conditions aren't going to be July conditions. And so if people would just take a little extra time in the morning to get prepared, leave a little earlier, I think they'd have some better success rather than having to get pulled out at times.
That's Keith Gadapi, Danville's road foreman. Keith, thank you very much for talking with us on what's still a busy cleanup day. I appreciate it.
No problem.
We're talking about town roads and how they get cleared up after storms. And we've got another Keith on the line from Moortown. Hey, Keith, what's happening in your community?
Hey, I was listening to the show on my way up to my house on the Moortown Common Road, and it is just this perfectly groomed, winged out, panoramic beauty of a dirt road that has an unbelievable view of Campbell's Hump. And there's also an article this week in the Valley Reporter here in the Valley about the grand listing cost of how towns cost out their plow crews, and the Moortown crew was looking for a 2% raise, and I just thought it was such a modest and comforting thing to hear that that's what they were asking for, and just the beauty of how they take care of this road. And it's like clockwork. At 5:30, I hear the plow go by for the bus route, which goes right by, and they're so unheralded. And as I said, as I go down to work at Sugarbush, sometimes the access road was, a disaster this weekend, because I don't know why, but here in Moortown, things were great. And as I was a kid, I used to, when I heard the snowplow, I thought it was called the snow cow. So when I hear it, I think of the snow cow. And yeah, just unheralded thanks to the, everybody's giving out shout outs to their town crews. And I think one of the key things in Vermont is living on a road where the plow people live, where they have to plow themselves out to get to you or to go by you or whatever. And so it's a wonderful thing.
Well, Keith, thanks for your thoughts, and thanks for updating us on what's happening with Moortown and the 2% raise that town road crew staff are hoping to get at town meeting day. And certainly this is one of the times, you know, town meeting day and trying to create the budget and each department trying to put in what their budget figures are. I mean, this is a crucial time for towns in thinking about all of this. And then you got to bring it to the voters and try to make a case. And everybody's budget is tight. And I understand that that's a really hard thing for many road crews. And so, Keith, I appreciate your update. But also, and Carrie, maybe you can speak to this in St. Albans Town, but, you know, you do have to bring things to voters, and occasionally you have to say, like, you know, we'd like to have a bond vote on a new plow, which can cost, I think, you know, over $100,000 sometimes in some cases. So how do you figure out what the right balance is for equipment when you know you're going to have to bring that to your voters?
It is challenging. Our voters, thankfully, have been very generous with our last few budgets. We do have quite a bit of experience, though. I know it seems a little bit like smoke and mirrors, but we have a number of years of experience and a number of financial tools we kind of work with. But, for instance, we are asking to purchase a snowplow this year in March. We luckily have had the opportunity to save a little money for it, so we do have some reserves for that. So that makes the question a little bit easier, quite a lot easier, when we're just asking to use some of the money we've already collected. But we generally do some analysis just on our historical information. So, yes, it might seem at the time that it's unpredictable, but we have a fairly good track record with trying to figure out how much it's going to cost us to perform those winter maintenance duties.
Jared, you mentioned that I think some of your equipment had not been up and running, and it's always that white-knuckle moment where you think, are we going to get it fixed before the storm comes? So how do you negotiate that?
Well, I was going to ask Carrie whether St. Albans has adopted a shorter replacement schedule for its plow trucks. We are moving from a 10-year replacement schedule to a 7-year replacement schedule, partly because of mechanical issues related to the increased computerization of these big pieces of equipment. And we're finding, and we have anecdotally collected information from neighboring towns and further afield in the state, that that replacement schedule is being shortened, and because of wear and tear on the equipment. And then to answer your specific question, Jane, when there is a mechanical, everybody knows about it in the valley. And for example, in November, when we had a breakdown of a couple of our trucks, within an hour, I think, we had offers from the Warren Road Department, the Moortown Road Department, and the Waitsfield Road Department, who happened to have an extra truck for that purpose to fill in the case of a mechanical. Fortunately, we didn't need it, but that goes to an earlier comment about sharing across town lines, sharing equipment.
Carrie, have you gone to a shorter changeover time for new equipment because of these? I mean, that was interesting to hear Jared say that because of the increased computerization, that's what's doing it.
Yes. So to answer Jared's question, yes, I don't recall when, but we are currently on a 7-year replacement schedule. That being said, even we have issues with that, but a lot less frequently. But some of the computer issues, I think, also involve some of the emission control, and those have led to more complicated trucks. You know, we do some of our repairs, but most of them now are so complicated they do have to go to a local shop, and we all share some of those shops, so we're begging and borrowing the time because we had two of our trucks down on Thursday, and thankfully between a local shop and a couple bigger ones, they were able to get us all back on track.
Oof, boy, yeah, Thursday when you're anticipating a big storm. Yeah, no kidding. Let's go to Rick, who's calling in from Brattleboro. Hey, Rick, you got a question?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. My concern is about the the overuse of salt. I know they're trying to use less salt, but it seems like there might be quite an environmental damage to brooks and streams and whatnot. And I think that, I was driving in Sweden on some long roads up there and out there, and they use sand strictly, and it would just build up in layers and layers, and everybody did fine with the sand.
So let me stop you there, Rick, and bring it to Karen in the time we have left. I mean, we know that salt can be damaging to the environment and can contribute to runoff and to chemicals that we don't want in our water supply and water stream. So how are towns and communities adjusting to that and trying to keep that in mind as we also try to keep people on the roads?
Well, that's really one of the driving forces behind the effort to reduce use of salt. Also, it's damaging to, plants along the side of the road. Sand doesn't always cooperate if it's just by itself and it gets frozen up. And so frequently a town will mix in some salt with their sand in order to break it up a bit. And then they can put it on the road and it'll function better. And as Carrie mentioned earlier, the towns are using brine a lot more, and the mix for brine tends to change over time. I'm not I don't mix brine, but but the recipe changes, for lack of a better word, and they towns as well as the state are really very aware of the potential impacts on water quality and trying to reduce salt for that very reason.
Well, we're going to leave it there for today, but luckily there are more storms and more opportunities for these kinds of conversations in the future. I really appreciate all three of you sharing your expertise and experience with us today. Karen Horn is Director of Public Policy and Advocacy for the Vermont League of Cities and Towns. Jared Cadwell is Select Board Chair in Facetown. And Carrie Johnson is Town Manager in St. Albans Town. Carrie, Jared, and Karen, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.